Well, blessed Radio. Welcome. To Words from the Word.
Coming
and his promise and what he has promised to give us. Through the promises of God, we have the power to stand, endure, and overcome. Evangelist, you're on the line?
Yes. Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you?
We are fine. So you have something to share with us this morning?
Yes, I will be sharing God promised us his loving kindness. Yes.
Amen.
God promised us his loving kindness, and kindness translated in Hebrew means devotion, found in Jeremiah 2:2. For his word refers to the most intimate, this word refers to the most intimate degree of loyalty, love, and faithfulness that can exist between two people or between an individual and the Lord. In Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah 9:24, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Then we find in Micah 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy, which is loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquity. You will cast our sins, speaking of God, into the depths of the sea. Proverbs 28:13 says, if troubled by your sin, which if you try to cover, you will never prosper. God's promises are, he covers it, found in Romans 4:7, and he blots it out, found in Isaiah 43:25, Isaiah 44:22, and Colossians 2:14. He removes it beyond recall, Psalms 103:12. He hides it beyond discovery, Jeremiah 50:20. And we're talking about our sins. He hides it beyond discovery, Jeremiah 50:20. He cast it into the depths of the sea, Micah 7:19. He will not impute it once forgiven, Romans 4:8. And he will forgive it, Psalms 103:3, and Colossians 1:4. Connected with our divine relationship is that of security. In Christ, we are not only saved, but safe and secure. And we find in Ephesians 1:13, he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the keeping power of God, which involves our preservation, permeates scripture. And I pray that this word will bless you on today, and you will meditate on his promises.
Amen. Amen. We are so grateful to Evangelist for sharing her heart as relates to the promise of God of his loving kindness. God will fulfill our heart's desire, and he has not forgotten you. This is from the wonder of the promises of God, as the evangelist has started us out. And the introduction to that is this. In your dark places, he has provided a light of hope. In your broken places, his blood will make you whole. In your dry and barren season, he will be a fountain of living water, causing new life to spring forth from your soul. When you feel powerless, his spirit will ignite in you a truth that will free you from your past and rise you above your circumstances. When you have lost your way, prayer will seek his path. When you lose sight of your dreams, faith will guide your steps. His blood will get you into the throne room and color your righteousness and color you righteous. His blood will keep you covered and deliver you to his table of promise. At his table of promise, your dreams will come true. At his table of promise, prosperity, prosperity, Job 22 and 21. Health is your portion, and he will provide your daily bread, and you will want for nothing. That's found in Psalms 23. And you'll lack no good thing, found in Psalms 34 and 10. Faith and love await you, Colossians 1 and 5. Victory over the tormentor, Psalms 44 and 7. He will give you increased power, Isaiah 40 and 29. A crown of beauty instead of ashes of shame, Isaiah 61 and 3. You are no longer bound, 1 Corinthians 7 and 15b, but free to partake of the bounty of heaven and enjoy the covenant of love between you and the Master, Romans 5 and 5. He will give you an anointing flow of oil to dispel your sadness, Isaiah 61 and 3. Chases away any gloom, found in Psalms 9 and 18. His peace will hold your mind, Isaiah 57 and 2. Joy that satisfies your every longing, Psalms 19 and 8. A quiet confidence in knowing you can do all things, Isaiah 32 and 17. The table will bless you. Our prayers, Lord, let me eat at your table all the days of my life. And as I partake of your bounty, my life will fulfill the dream of my hitherto unspoken destiny, where the exceedingly abundantly is my daily bread. We are grateful for the word that fills our soul and satisfies our soul. We will go to destroy the yoke and burden, peace and rest he will bring. Galatians 1 and 14. My transgressions were bound unto a yoke. By his hand they were fastened together. They were set upon my neck. He caused my strength to fail. Then in Isaiah 57 and 18 it says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him. What an awesome promise. From the heart of God, desire is for us to become God chasers. The path of the God chaser, though straight and narrow, is often obstructed by distorted views, opinions, human nature to seek the temporal, and ultimately earthly cares and concerns. We end up chasing the things of God instead of the God that created them. God knew in order for us to come to where he was, we would need his help. That's that loving kindness and tender mercy. That's that his devotion to us. His promises were given to us to help us overcome these obstructions because his commitment to us flows from powerful, holy hands of love, loyalty, and faithfulness. His promises were given to enable us to share them with him. 2 Peter 1 and 4, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. That's the New Living Translation. But because we see him through the things concerning him, like programs, plans, people, agenda, our pursuit of God, sometimes loses sight of the mark we are pressing towards. An example of this was given when Martha came to Christ, frustrated by her ministry work. We find this in Luke 10 and 38, and it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered much about serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. We see how Christ helped to redirect Martha because she wanted to have Mary come and help her in the kitchen to serve, moving her from a place of promise to a place that would meet a social concern. We often expend our time, emotion, and energy pursuing the provisions rather than the provider. But Jesus promised in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A scripture that we don't often embrace or receive the revelation from. But God is telling us the working of this promise into our life will free us from the frustrating exhaustion and depression that wearies the soul and plagues our ministry and our life. Jesus is saying to us, even now, come where I am. Hear what I require, know what I value, and learn how I made this journey. Exchange the yoke of human nature, distorted views and opinions, for my yoke of the divine and the eternal. Ditch the weight of temporal things and earthly concerns, and pick up my gift of great and precious promises. Because he said in Jeremiah 29:13, you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When Jesus said, come and hear where I am, come hear where I am, and hear what I require, know what I value, and learn how I made this journey. We can see his journey in many instances of the life of Christ. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. He is speaking from the wilderness to the mountain, to the highest point of the temple, whether it is at home, at church, or in your interaction with the world. At my first attack from the enemy, I established the rules of engagement. Word, word, word. The weapon of our warfare is the sword. The new sword made invincible by the power behind it. And that power is me. This is Christ speaking. My temptation in the garden is reported in Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during these times. And when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, I will give all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Those are those seven mountains that the enemy has taken over. But Christ said, therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. Even the devil knows our promises. And on their hand they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. But when you resist the devil, he will flee. And then Jesus is sharing with us, in my temptation in the wilderness, Satan attempted to destroy my destiny by trying to take me and get me to satisfy my flesh. From there, Satan took me to the mountaintop where he tried to steal my love by having me bow down to him. Then Satan took me to the highest point of the temple, where he wanted to kill my faith by toying with my promises. As your journey takes you higher, as you draw nearer and closer to me, the enemy gets more cunning and more subtle in his attack. Temptations that would not be a problem normally are reasoned away. Now, when your situation becomes challenging, you no longer consider them temptations, but opportunities to help God solve your problem or meet your need. I was hungry, having been in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days. So to turn stone into bread would only seem natural, exercising my God-given power, right? No. It is times like these that during our times of temptation, you be careful to not create plateaus of complacency, places where you stop honoring me and seek self-satisfaction in self-righteousness. This is when you reason and try to justify your actions. It is when you yield to the accuser's taunt. You fulfill the need of the flesh. You see the things of the world and desire them, misusing the promise of God to reach for the world's standard. Remember my victory. When I was tempted, I spoke the word and used it to exercise the power of the spiritual over the natural. This is why you are told to read the word. Hide it in your hearts so you might not sin against God. Hiding God's word in your heart will cause you to find them when you are tempted. So when you land on a plateau in your walk, the light from the truth of the word will illuminate your steps so you will not yield to the temptation of the accuser. Remembering the spiritual is greater than the natural, eternal greater than the temporal, valuing and trusting in the promises of God and not using them for your own agenda, but rather choosing them to give glory to God. God's plan and ways are so much more higher than our physical, temporary needs. Your earthly view of things will often interfere with your heavenly destiny and God-given purpose. The view is constrained by your earthly temporal perspective. It does not compare to a God's eye view. Because of the victory I won at my first attack from the enemy, I was able to be used by God to mirror him in the earth realm, as I had other encounters. And you will be used as well. I was able to bring a new concept to mountaintop worship. Satan took me to the top of the mountain and promised me all I saw if I would bow down and worship him. And yet I told the woman at the well that they worshiped they knew not who. But my coming introduced and extended to all the Father's desire to those who would worship in spirit and in truth. The story of the woman in the well, at the well, can be found in John 1 through 42. Then cometh he to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat there on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. I was able to answer her and to bring enlightenment to her life because I had overcome the first temptation. The victory I won on the mountain was made available as I extended myself to others who had been in error. The woman at the well learned true worship. I could tell her because the word in me had defeated the enemy, because I didn't bow and worship Satan and trade my love for God. She now had a new example to follow. The former things were passed away, and a new relationship was being established. The worship of the Father in spirit and in truth by all nations and people. In the wilderness, when I refused to turn the rocks into bread, I was able to offer living water from the rock, not from the bread. Also, that rock became the cornerstone of the new covenant. The scripture declared that I am the bread of life. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The bread was to my destiny, not my dinner. The bread was to be my destiny and not my dinner. That is more powerful than one meal. Consider that by not satisfying my own physical temporal need, but trusting in the plan of the Father, that a multitude would be fed and hunger no more. Not just a mountain a little while later, not just those that were on a mountain a little while later that he fed the 5,000, but for all generations to come. And then the temple, and then at the temple, Satan would have me prostitute my promise by twisting the word of God. He did that before, back in the garden. So you must not only know the word of God, but understand the principle and the purpose of that word of God. You must let God's word define you, actions, not the world and its lies. To the world, it might appear that the woman at the well was Mary, but by God's standards, she was not. I'm reminded the woman and the man she was with currently, I reminded the woman that the man she was with currently was not her husband either. I proposed to her a new and real covenant of love because I understood the power of the promise of the word for her journey. We have some callers on the line. We will pause and get some insight from them before we continue on. Evangelist Roberta?
Ma'am? Hello?
Did you want to add a comment?
No. Well, no, ma'am.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay. We're going to go down this list of blessed saints that have joined us. We are so grateful. We have Minister April on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And Minister April was on the line making herself available to share with us an introduction to a continued study of the names of God, and we pray that we will be able to get to that. We want to be sensitive to the flow of the Spirit as he leads and directs us. So we thank you for joining with us.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. Did you have any comments? Or?
No, I'm enjoying the message so far.
Okay. Well, we appreciate all of the listeners that take time out to share with us. We want to thank you. We want to acknowledge you, and I'll give you an opportunity to share and to give whatever Holy Spirit is giving to you. Caller, you're live on the line. We understand sometimes people are on mute or at work and aren't able, but if you are, this is your opportunity.
I'm not sure if you're speaking to me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. This is Elder Deborah. Yes.
Good morning, Overseer. How are you? Yes, I've been enjoying the program as well. A couple things really just jumped out at me. I got on the line as Evangelist Roberta was sharing, and when she was speaking about God covers us, and I think so many times we are covered by God and we just forget, you know, or we dismiss just how repulsive our sin is to the Father, but yet He covers us and He doesn't let the world see sometimes some of the underside of some of the things, and I think sometimes we really forget that. And it was just when she said that He covers us, I felt that was so powerful. And as you went on and you were talking about the whole idea of how we come and we want what God has for us, you know, the whole idea of seeking His hand rather than seeking His face. And I think that sometimes we become complacent and, you know, we fall in love with God and we understand how gracious and marvelous the relationship is. And in our attempt to get other folks to be engaged in the process, you know, we share the benefits that He has without really trying to encourage them to have a relationship, to really seek Him for themselves, you know, and we're sharing, you know, the benefits, you know, how He loads us up daily, you know, with those benefits, but neglecting to really encourage folks to seek Him for Himself, you know, that whole seek His face and not His hand. And I know that I've been guilty of that. And when you were talking about how, you know, that we need to seek first the kingdom of God, you know, and His righteousness, and then those things are added unto us. You know, that also resonated with my spirit. And lastly, I won't, you know, hog the line, but when you talked about the rules of engagement, you know, the rules kind of made me think of, you know, everything about the Father is orderly and precise and exact. And there are rules of engagement, and that is His word, you know. And we need to play, you know, just for a very colloquial term, on His terms, you know. And a lot of times we want to come to Him with what we have, you know, with our service, with our agenda, with our programs, with our sacrifice, you know, but not with our obedience to what His word tells us first and foremost. Yeah. And just that rules of engagement, I'm like, oh, God, that will preach. You know, that just you know, just really resonated with me. That we really need to come to Him the way He wants us to come to Him. And I think that is, you know, we get so comfortable and being in the family of God and doing ministry work, and we do it on our terms, you know, and wonder why we don't get the results that we are looking for, get the results that He has promised us. But because we really don't come in under the rules of engagement, under His rules, you know, which is, you know, what His word says, you know, it's for the whole of the matter. So, you know, those were just some things I just kind of wanted to share, you know, just as it's been resonating as you've been speaking.
Amen.
You know, has really just blessed my heart this morning.
Amen. And we're so grateful when we're able to have another perspective and insight and of what is being shared and what's being put forth. And actually, while you were speaking, I realized that even in the rules of engagement, in that one particular scripture that's so difficult sometimes for saints, when His word said, you know, my burden is easy and my burden is like my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep speaking. This is hard. This is hard. And there is a battle. And just as Christ, that you know, he was 40 days without eating, and then he gets all of these temptations that he has the power to go about and you know, turn bread a stone into bread. And yet, when we learn of him, then the answer is simple and it's easy. No, man doesn't live by bread alone, and that's easy to say. But when we embrace it, then it becomes easy to do. It becomes easy.
Yes.
And the journey does become a joy because it becomes so simple. And he's done everything that we need, and Christ came and left the example of how we are to be victorious. And in this mountain temptation, each one of the temptations was over an area that Christ was later able, because he did not yield to them to those temptations as the first Adam did. He did not yield, and because he didn't yield, he was able to provide for us the example of the victory, and he was able to make for us a light burden and a light yoke and an easy burden because of what he did. His refusing to turn the rock into bread, the stone into bread. And I know it's like a twist of things, but that rock, he became the cornerstone for the church. That rock became where he built his church upon that rock. Had it been turned to bread, then he would have lost that for a meal, one meal. And yet, because he realized he was bread, he was then able to feed a multitude, not just on the mountain, but every day since, even up until and including this moment. We're feasting on the bread of life because he didn't bow down and worship. We learn how to worship in spirit and in truth because God gives us that spirit, and he is that truth. And so now we can possess him to truly worship God on the mountain. And so that woman who knew at the well, no, we're supposed to worship God, she knew that, but she didn't know how, because she was living according to man's definition, even in her own personal life. And so Christ had to come to give her a divine, eternal view of the fullness of God and what a God's eye view looks like, and then the power to live according to that God's eye view. And that one interaction, that one intervention for that one woman has spoken over centuries to people all over the world. And even in her town, it invoked such an excitement in her that it changed her whole life. And her whole life then changed the environment that she was around. And it also claimed the victory of their worship, because now they knew how. Now they would have the knowledge of how, and also the power to do it. So Satan would have Christ prostitute his promise by twisting the promise in the Word of God. And that's what we do. We kind of twist it to give us what we want and not to allow it to make us into who we were intended to be. Okay. Let's see. We are excited about this season that we are in. We do want to take a little time out to share with those that are listening, and that those that will be listening to the broadcast that this is the season to be registered for this year's final annual sexual relational healing retreat, Stand, Endure, and Overcome. And we do encourage you, if you're not registered, to please do so. You can do so online at laborers-for-christ.org under sexual and relational healing retreat. We are excited about what God is doing, the move of God at this season and through his people. His people are in preparation through their 60-day consecration. We do want to remember that and to remember our place of oneness, that we must come into alignment with the Spirit of God as one in unity, which is when the power falls and comes in such a wave of force that nothing will ever be the same again, because it will have been transformed by the power of heaven. We are grateful for our listeners. We do encourage those that may have other sharings and writings to get them in, or let me know so that you can also be a part of our sessions. We appreciate the faithfulness and the resources that our apostle has made available to us and her support. We are grateful for those who will glean from this so that others may also glean from it. We encourage you to continue to share and support the ministry of Blog Talk Radio. We have many anointed leaders on the air sharing their powerful anointing with you. We encourage you to tune in to them. There is a schedule that is available, and all those who would like it can just email me at pc_Thornton, Thornton, at yahoo.com, and we will make sure that Minister Sharita gets that request, and we can definitely get a schedule to you. It is a part of our monthly updates that Minister Sharita sends out, so we encourage you to search through it to get it. We do want to ask, I know it may be a spare moment for Minister April, who also has a blog talk session, if she could provide us with the phone number for calling in for her session. Minister April? I know she's at work,
yes.
So I know. Yes.
Yes.
Can you provide us with that phone number?
I sure can. I am on Blog Radio each Friday morning, 6:30 a.m., and my call-in number is 602-753-1659. Again, that number is 602-753-1659, and I am on at 6:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and your program show title is?
The title of my show is Friday Fire, and the name of my ministry is Unleash the Fire Ministries. So it's Friday Fire at 6:30 a.m. on Friday morning.
Can you give us like a little description of your service?
My radio broadcast?
Yes, ma'am.
So each Friday morning, we're here on Blog Talk Radio, and we are just basically discussing what it is that God is speaking to his people for today. So for the past few weeks, we have been in a series on the authenticity of worship. We started off with intimacy of Christ, and we studied that for about 3 weeks. And so now that led us into a series on the authenticity of worship. And so we're discussing what true worship looks like, you know, how worship differs from praise.
Amen. Amen. Hello?
Hello.
I don't know. Okay, yes. I think that's so powerful, just even the oneness of the message that God is sending out to his people. There is a unity in it, as we spoke, as he had us share with worship today. Oftentimes we plan for one thing, and the Spirit leads us into a different direction that he would have us to go. And though the information is available, we are always seeking and ask you to continue to keep us in prayer of how to share that information, because he's given us so much, and so we want it to be able to be meaningful and to be timely and to bring us to a place of empowerment and spiritual maturity. So I thank Minister April for sharing her information with us. I will check to see anybody else on the line have anything that they would like to share. Evangelist Roberta?
Ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am.
Anything else?
Excuse me. No, ma'am. Sure. It sounds like someone else is on the line, but I don't know.
Okay.
If they want to say something or if they're just clearing their throat. I heard them earlier. It sounded like a gentleman, but I'm not sure.
Okay, I see one more that I'm going to click over to, and I'm going to put you on mute. Pray for my technical problems with the computer. Caller, you're on the line. Area code 815-616-9466.
Good morning, Overseer, and everyone.
Good morning, the Lazarus sisters.
Yes.
Amen.
I guess I do. I didn't catch it from the very beginning, but I do just want to encourage people. I've attended every retreat that we've had, and if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Overseer, I think I've even helped with every wonder that has been prepared.
Yes.
And I just encourage people to, I know it's information overload, as people say, but I just want to encourage people to read it, because you read something, and I know I've read all your paperwork sitting there, but you read it as our bread was our destiny, not our daily, was not our daily bread.
I saved
it in my phone. And I don't know what year that was from, but I can just think about the last few years of my life. And if I've encountered every opportunity, every blessing from God from that way, as opposed to using all the provision because you're afraid in the season of lack is coming, but understanding that it is my provision, it is my destiny, it is what's the last man to sustain me, I think a lot of things would have turned out differently. So I thank you, and I just encourage people to just take the time. I know you may be tired. It could be a lot going on at the retreat, but take the time to read everything and pray that, you know, his word will not return void, but it will do that which it was sent to accomplish in your life. And I know to everything there's a time and a season, but definitely for me in this season, it will be a change on how I view my daily bread, because I think we do take it for granted until there's a day when you don't have that physical or that spiritual bread. And you just don't see it. You don't see where it's coming from. And when you get it, it's so because there's been such a famine, we overindulge on it and overeat on it, if you will, and it does our body no good at that point. Our body doesn't realize that it's been fed and that it's been nourished, because we tried to eat it all up at one time and we didn't give it time to break down and to do that which it was sent to accomplish in our life and our spirit. So thank you, Overseer. I know I've read that before because I remember some pieces of it, but I do not remember that part. So thank you very much for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I praise the Lord. I would like to also say these are the things that get me very, very excited, okay? I'm going to try to get the two people on the line at the same time. Evangelist Roberta, actually everybody on the line, so if you want to say something, I think if you talk, we'll hear you.
But one of the things this writing is from is the woman at the well. And Evangelist Roberta,
yes,
built that wonder. It was to the right of the room, in almost halfway back, and it was the woman at the well, and she built it. And when she was building it, she kept saying, "Well, I don't know. I don't know. And people often want, they seek information, just want to know, what do you want me to do? And it's like, just let it flow. Let God show you how to present this to his people. And it was most phenomenal. It was most phenomenal. And so when I read these, I see visually what the site looked like within the room of the Seven Wonders. And for this particular one, I remember exactly who did it and when it was done and how it was done. Because we had bought, I know this is a lot of personal information, but because of who's on the line, I know that, all of you have labored in the wonder and have been such an essential part, and truly, truly for you, that it could not have happened had not you all did the things that you did. And I just rejoice in you guys and in God using you and using your life and blessing it. And so I just wanted to, it's like two people are on the line regarding the same wonder, and the one that built it, or three, the one that built it, that wrote about it, and the one that is rejoicing in the truth that was revealed in it. And so I do. I thank God for that. I thank God for all of you. We're soon drawing close, and this song, Hallelujah, was one that I wanted to share with our listeners. And I know that, some of you at work, you got to go, and, we have our life task ahead of us today. But this song just so spoke to the times when we have fallen short, when we have fell ourselves on our face because of something we had done, and it's happened in all of our lives. And yet, hallelujah, because God has always been there. He has never changed his love. He has not changed his promises. He's always been true to us. And so I just encourage you to enjoy this song for the remainder of this, and I will be blessed to be able to come back and share with you again on next Friday. God bless you.
Pray.